recording.
Now, we're holding on page Nun Dalet in Shabbos, Ois Pei. We started learning yesterday about Kisrei HaKodesh, what are considered legitimate Kisrei HaKodesh, that therefore you can save them from a fire on Shabbos, and even to a certain extent, Chachamim allow you to bend the rules of Shabbos in order to save them, rules that are Dirabbanan anyway, so the same Chachamim who made those rules can make exceptions to them, and we're not, and we say that you just, for example, we said Torah Shabbat Peh, Brachos, things like that, that weren't supposed to be written in the first place, then those, you just leave them in their place and they get broke. So the Gemara continues on that topic, talking about what happens if you have a Sefer Torah where most of the letters have gotten rubbed out and you only have a few letters left. So the Gemara establishes that as long as you have at least 85 letters left, then it's considered enough of a Sefer Torah. You obviously can't lay them from it in public, but it's enough to be able to save it from a fire and to follow those rules on Shabbos. And why 85 letters? Because that's the size of Parshas Vayehi ben Soyah Oren. From Parshas Ba'alos, so you have the two psukim over there, that the two psukim together contain 85 letters, so therefore that's considered the minimum. So now the Gemara digresses to talk a little bit about that section. Tana Rabbanan, Vayehi ben Soyah Oren Vayemi Moshe, Hashem made signs, marks at the beginning and the end of it. Now, most Mephoshim explain that it means the backwards nuns. You have there's a variety of different understandings among the Rishonim about how exactly those backwards nuns, what they're supposed to be shaped like, where they should be located. There's the standard opinion that became accepted among the poskim, and this is the way you'll find it in our standard Sefer Torah, is that you have in the space before Vayehi ben Soyah, the parasha Struma before, and in the parasha Psucha after it, in the middle of that space, you'll have the backwards nun. But there are other opinions, including that the backwards nuns are in the words themselves, the nun of Vayehi ben Soyah and the nun of Vayehi Hom Kimis Oinanim. There's an opinion that those themselves are written backwards. And Marshal on this Gemara says that Bechlal, the backwards nuns, don't belong there Bechlal. And he says even a Sefer Torah, he goes so far even as to say that a Sefer Torah written with them, he says, would be possible. He says the simonious that we mean are just the fact that you have an open parasha break before and after Vayehi ben Soyah. Anyway. So you have simonius before and after it. Loima she'ein zemekoima, in order to tell us that this is not really the place where these psukim belong. Really, these psukim belong earlier when it discusses how the camps of the Jewish people would travel. So therefore, so you have the simonius. So according to the majority opinion that they're the backwards nuns, so you have a lot of different points in that. You have the Maharam Shif actually says in a way they're almost like parentheses. So literally, they put parentheses on it around it to show that it belongs someplace else. But you have further on, the Gemara is going to point out that it belongs back in the section of the Degolim in Parshas Bamidbar. So Rabbeinu Bechaya explains on the pasuk, and then Baal HaTurim brings it also that it's supposed to be 50 parashiyas back. If you count all the psuchas and psumas from Vayehi ben Soyah back to the middle of the Degolim, you have 50 parashiyas, and therefore the nuns correspond to that. So there's a variety of different explanations why nuns specifically represent that it's not in its proper place. Rebbe says that's not the reason why you have the backwards nuns. Elam, the reason is to mark off that these two psukim by Ibn Soya and over Nucha Yomar are considered an important sefer on their own. So usually a sefer of Tanakh is marked off with four blank lines before it. Here, because it's a tiny sefer, only two psukim, then instead we mark it off with these spaces and with the backwards nuns. Marashar talks about the idea that now the Gemara. Let's learn the Gemara first, then we'll talk about what Marashar says about it. In what way is a sefer choshev b'fnei atzmo? That itself is an enormous amount of explanations that are given about that. One point is Rabbeinu Bechaya makes a point that in the first pasuk by Vayehi ben Soyah alone, you have seven alephs. So therefore, it corresponds to the 7,000 years of the world. So therefore, those two psukim themselves encapsulate within them the history of the world. And therefore, he says that the backwards nuns represent the nun alofim yovlus, the idea that after our world and before our world and after our world, there were various ruchniastika worlds and there's 50,000 yovlus of them. And therefore, those are all represented by the nuns. Different other mafarshim point out you have basic ideas of Yiddishkeit in these psukim, including the fact that anyone Rashi mentions on the pasuk, anyone who's an enemy of the Jewish people is automatically an enemy of Hashem. This is a very fundamental concept, and therefore deserves to be called a sefer of its own, and so forth. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Keman oz lahad amrav Shmuel bar Nachman or Nachmeni amrav Yochanan or Yonason." According to which of these opinions does it follow this that we drosha on the pasuk chotz va'amudei hashiva, that the pasuk says in Mishlei that wisdom, which refers to the wisdom of Torah, has carved out her seven pillars. So what does it mean, seven pillars? Elu shiva sifrei Torah, that refers to the seven books of the Torah. Keman kerevi, that would necessarily be like Rebbe, because according to the Tanakhama of the Braisa, there were only five chumashim as we usually count them. And the only reason why Ben Soya is marked off specially is because it doesn't belong here. It belongs elsewhere in Chumash Bamidbar. Rebbe is saying that it's considered actually a separate sefer of his own. So therefore, it comes out that you actually have seven books of the Torah. Bereshis, Shmos, Vayikra, the beginning of Bamidbar, those two psukim, the rest of Bamidbar, and Devarim. There's actually a sicha from Balos Chatzavshin and Aleph, where the Rebbe talked about the idea that you also have the seven branches of the menorah correspond to seven types of Jews, and in turn to the seven sfarim that we have over here. When you think about it, the Rebbe says if you count like this, they're saying there are seven chumashim, then it comes out the last two of them begin on a negative note. The first five of them begin on a very positive note, but then the last two begin, the sixth one then according to that begins by Hiom Kimis Oninim, the people were complaining, and the seventh one begins with the Teuchacha that Moshe says, the Jewish people, Elad Varim. So therefore, it represents the idea that even though you may have among the Jews, you have the five Jews and you have the two Jews, the ones who seemingly are closer to Elikus, and the ones who seemingly are further away, and they're represented by Chumashim that begin with negative psukim. Nonetheless, they're all part of the seven branches of the menorah. They're all co-equal members of the Jewish people, and you have to work on elevating and then lighting them all like the lamps of the menorah. Anyway, the Gemara continues, Man Tana de Poligale de Rebbe. Now we said before, so we had a Braisa with a Tanakhama that said that means that Vayhi ben Soya doesn't belong over here. Then we had Rebbe said it's a separate Chumash. Which particular Tana is it? That's the Tanakhama of that Braisa. The answer is Rav Shimon Gamliel. It's Rav Shimon Gamliel specifically. The Tanya, Rav Shimon Gamliel, because we learn in a Braisa. That Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "Asida parusha zu she'te'okim mikan." In the future, when Mashiach comes, this parusha will be uprooted from here, but because of the mekoma, and it will be written in its proper place. Because the whole reason why it's over here is, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, "V'lama nichtav akan." Why was it written over here? Kedei lahafsik ben poronus rishona leporonus shnia, in order to separate between the first. Between the first punishment and the second punishment, meaning the first thing that the Jewish people did wrong and the second thing. So, Puranas Shnia Maihi Vaihi Om Kimisonim. What's the second one is when it says right after Vaihi Ben Soya, it says the people were complaining. And the Pasuk says that they were struck by fire and Moshe had to daven for the fire to go away. Puranas Rishona, what is the earlier Puranas? Before Vayhi ben Soya, it says Vayistu Mehar Hashem. They traveled from the mountain of Hashem, from Har Sinai. VaOmer Abchama Barchanina Shesoru Me'achre Hashem. That means not just that they traveled physically, but it means they traveled in a negative way, Beruchnius, that they removed themselves from following Hashem. So Rashi explains that it actually means. Because right away, then during those 3 days that they were traveling, they're traveling from Har Sinai for 3 days, and then they were supposed to reach Kadesh Barnea, and right away Kadesh Barnea is on the border of Eretz Yisrael, and they would have gone right in. But during those first 3 days, Rashi says they were already starting to complain about the meat, which afterwards you have further on in Parshas Baal Oisra, the details of how they were complaining about that. So already during those 3 days, they were starting in on that. So therefore, so in order not to put that and the misodinim together, therefore they're separated by Ibn Soya, says Rav Shimon Gamliel. Tosfos disagrees and says that no, the Vayisu Mehar Hashem doesn't yet mean that they were complaining about the meat. That happened only later. The Vayisu Mehar Hashem is a problem, and Rashi mentions that on the Pasuk actually, means that they're eager to leave Har Sinai. Vayisu Mehar Hashem, that the Medrash compares it to like kids who are eager to run home from school. Like they're saying, you know, as long as we're by Har Sinai, we keep on getting more mitzvahs, let's get out of here as fast as possible, so we don't have to get any more of that. So therefore, so in that sense, that's considered Shesoru Me'achre Hashem, that they abandon Hashem. Why don't they want to stay by Har Sinai and receive more mitzvahs? Why are they so eager to leave? So again, therefore, the idea would be that therefore the Torah wanted to separate that between that and Vayehi Hom Kemisonim. You have the Rashi mentions on the pasuk that actually there would be three Poronos in a row, really, because you have the Vayisu Mehar Hashem, you have the Misonim, and then you have that they were complaining about meat, or Saps of Hashem Kibra is Abu Sava. So therefore you'd have three in a row, and therefore the Torah wanted to break it up. So the Heichan the Koma, where is the actual place where these psukim belong? Amravashi b'dugolim. So Ravashi says it belongs back when it's describing the dugolim in Parshas Bamidbar, when it says how this machna would camp on this side and that machna on that side, and then it says how when they would travel, the Levium would be in the middle. So that would be the appropriate place to bring in Vayhi ben Soya. When they're traveling, then when Moshe would say Kuma Hashem, etc. So Marsha gives an explanation over here that also ties in the Nuns with this. Now, we know that Nun, in general, is a letter that has to do with Puranus. We learned back in Brachas, that there's no Pasuk beginning with Nun in Ashrei, because Nun represents Nephilah, falling, and then therefore David HaMelech didn't want to put it in over there, but instead he put in Seimach Hashem L'cholam Noithlim, that Hashem supports all those that are fallen. So therefore, the idea would be that, so you have, then, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the vote is the Nuns are there to separate the Poronus, in other words, that the Jewish people should not fall. Therefore, you have the Nuns over there representing that there should not be that falling. So therefore, they're turned backwards to show that instead of them representing the falling, they should represent the opposite, that the Jewish people are able to stand up firmly. It should be, the Nephilah should be turned into good. Then, according to Rebbe, that it means that it marks it off as a sefer of its own. Then, the reason it's marked with nuns is to show that just like every other sefer of the Torah, it contains all nun share bina. It contains the whole gamut, the whole 50 levels of Hashem's chachma, even though you would think it's only two psukim, 85 letters. How much chachma could there be in there? No, because it's still, even those two psukim by themselves are full of chachmas, Ritzon Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they're backwards in the sense that nobody can fully understand them. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, where it mentions him in the psukim, by Heben Sayaron, by Yom Moshe, these are Moshe's words. Even he couldn't understand them because, as we know from other Gemaras, he only reached Mem Tes Share Bina. As it says in Chassidus, only when he passed away did he reach the 50th level, which is why he passed away on Har Nivoy Nun Boy. But up until that point, he only was 49. So therefore, the Nuns are backwards to represent that there's Nun Share Bina in just these two psukim alone, and nobody can possibly understand them. Therefore, they're backwards. Marshall also adds the point that, according to what the Gemara said at the end of here, that, and according to Tosfos' explanation, particularly that they're eager to run away from Har Sinai, the word mehar, then we can also understand as though it said maher, by Yisu, maher Hashem, quickly away from Hashem. And he explains that that's why specifically Vayehi ben Soya was chosen to break it up, because right before that, the pasuk says that the Oren was traveling a 3 days distance in front of them. So therefore Moshe davens, Kuma Hashem, Yafutsu Oyvecha, let the Rishoyim scatter, because when the Rishoyim are scattered, it's better for the world. And then he says, when the Oren comes to rest, then Hashem davens, then Moshe davens, Shuv Hashem, Rivavos Alfei Yisrael, that at least Moshe is saying, granted the rest of the Jewish people maybe have acted wrongly, but at least you have Rivavos Alfei Yisrael. Rivavos means 20,000. Alfei means 2,000. So you have the 22,000 Levim. They were loyal to Hashem all the time. So at least he's saying to Hashem, rest your Shechina among the Jewish people in the schus of the Levim, even if everybody else has misbehaved. So therefore, that's why these two psukim of Vayehi ben Soya are put in there in order to break up the Puranis. Further on, the Gemara goes on to talk about the question: what about if you have, let's say, when it comes to saving things from a fire on Shabbos, what happens if you have the blank sections of a Sefer Torah? So you have, for example, the margins. You know, you have a top margin, a bottom margin. You have the parts between one Omud and the next. So the Gemara talks about, let's say, for example, you had a Sefer Torah where those were cut off of it. And let's say the Sefer Torah itself is very worn out and you don't have that many letters left in it. Or the Gilyonim, the margins, are they important enough in and of themselves to be saved on Shabbos? So in that connection, after this, in the course of discussing that, the Gemara brings Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Hagyu Yonin the Sifre Tzidukin, or Tzidukin, the Pashtus was changed by the censors, it's supposed to be Minim, where Minim refers to a variety of different groups, but many, very often, in general, it means groups that believed in various kinds of apikorsis. They believed to some extent in Tanakh, but they introduced their own false ideas into it. It includes the Uri Christians, it includes various other groups like that. Anyway, the blank parts of the parchment, the Sifre Tzidukin, or the Sifre Minim, and the Sfarim of these people, Ein Matzil Noisim, if not later, you don't save them from a fire on Shabbos. Again, even though those Sifre Minim have names of Hashem in them, and they have quotations from Sukkim or whatever, they're not important enough to, they don't have Kedusha to save them from a fire on Shabbos. So Rashi brings from Furt. For Minuit Tzedukhi writes to say for Torah, right. In fact, Tosfos discusses over here, Tosfos not printed over here in Ein Yaakov, but in the Gemara, Tosfos discusses that we don't necessarily mean Sifre Tzedukin or Sifre Minim means, like Rashi says, books that were actually written by them, Rashi explains that it means that they wrote themselves out Tanakhs in Ksav Ashuri and Lashon Kodesh, but they were written by Tzedukim or by Minim. Tosfos says, not necessarily, it may refer to Sfarim that are found in their possession. You don't know whether they wrote them or whether Kosher or Jews wrote them. Rashi brings from further on in the Gemara, that actually what the Gemara ends up saying is that Sifrei Tzedukin are considered like Gil Yonim. They have the status just a blank piece of parchment. They have no Kedusha for them. Anyway, so Ein Matzil Noisim, if not like, so you don't save them from fire on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi, says, if it's on a weekday and a fire breaks out, or b'chal, if you get a hold of such a sefer, then what you do is you don't want to destroy the names of Hashem that are in them. After all, you do have names of Hashem written in these Sifrei Torah. So you cut out the names of Hashem, the goinzan, and you put them in Sheamus. Bashar is so fun, and the rest of them you burn. But on Shabbos, of course, you can't do that. So therefore, Shabbos would be different. You just leave them to be burned. But Amr Rav Tarfon, but Rav Tarfon says it's even more than that. Akapeach es bonai. Rav Tarfon says, let me cut off my children. This is you find in a number of places in Shas that he would say this is a lashon of shvuah. I'm so certain of what I'm going to say that I would if what I'm saying is not true, then I should lose my children. Rahman al-Tzlan. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Rav Matzia that he did. Most of his children ended up passing away as a result of that. He had like one grandson or great grandson that Rebbe discovered a couple of generations later. But anyway, so he says a very strong lashon of shavua. Says Rav Tarfon, she'im yavoyu liyadi. If I get a hold of these sifrei tzedukim, shani esrif oisem ve'esaz koras shabahem, I would burn them together with the names of Hashem in them. Either are names of Hashem, doesn't matter. They were written, whoever wrote them had in mind their avodah zarah, or had in mind their twisted ideas of what Hashem is, rather than, so they weren't written with the kedusha of Hashem's name in mind. And he says, Shafilo Adam Roidef after Lahorgoi, you should realize, even if, for example, somebody is chasing after him, meaning means on himself, Rashi says, so if somebody were to be chasing after him to kill him, meaning he's saying himself, if somebody were chasing after me, etc., the Nochosh Rotz Lahakishoi, or snake was after him to bite him, Nichnas Laves Avodizara, then he, meaning I, would be willing to go into a temple of Avodah Zarah to save his life, because you're allowed to. Ruach Nefesh, the Ein Nichnas Lavateim Shel Evu. But I would never go into the houses of these min. Shalolam Akirin V'Kofrin, because the minim, the tzedukim, whatever, are even worse than the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, because they recognize who Hashem is and they deny him. Shalolam Ein Akirin V'Kofrin, the goyim, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they don't know what Hashem is, so therefore when they deny Hashem and they worship Avodah Zarah, they're not really doing it. They're not Yodim Es Ribonim Meskaven Limribon, unlike the minim. So therefore, so he's saying, unlike Rabbi Yossi, you're telling me you cut out the names of Hashem from these Sfarim and put them in Sheamus. No, even the names of Hashem that are in those Sfarim should also be burnt. Ba'aleim akosiv oimer, and Rav Tarfon says, on such people, on these minim, or tzedukim, the Pasuk says, ba'achar adelas v'amezuzah samt zichroinim. You put your remembrance behind the door and behind the doorpost. Meaning Rashi says, not like you've forgotten it. You fully remember what it is to follow Hashem and to learn Torah and do mitzvahs, but you've thrown it behind the door as though it's unimportant. Marsha points out that the word Yizchroinech is really a euphemism. It really means Yizchroini. You've thrown my remembrance of Hashem behind the door and consider it unimportant. And he explains that the continuation of the pasuk also represents that it's talking about somebody who recognizes Hashem. Kimiisi gilitz vatali. It's pasuk in Yeshaya that you've gone away from me and you've uncovered and gotten out. The mashal over there is like a woman who leaves her husband to go be mezana with others, so like you know what it is to be close with Hashem, and you're deliberately abandoning Him and going after others. So therefore, Reb Tarfon says, so they're worse than Oved Avodah Zarah even. And the Gemara continues, Om Reb Shmuel Kal V'Chomer. So Reb Shmuel says, Om Kal V'Chomer, to show, like Reb Tarfon, that these books should be completely destroyed, names of Hashem and all. Kal V'Chomer. Madach, to make peace between a husband and wife, the Torah says, currently Masechta Sota that we're learning now for Sfira, the Torah says, my name that was written in Kedusha should be erased into the water. These minim who are causing jealousy and hatred and tachrus, which are competition between the Jewish people and Aviyam Shvashmaim and Hashem, Allah is kind of a kama, how much more so that we should destroy their books. What do we mean by Matilim Kina and then and Ava and so forth? Marshall says specifically these are groups that claim that Hashem exchanged us Jewish people for a different nation, which you had various groups like that. You had the Christians came up with that concept, and various other groups like that also held of that concept. So therefore, they're acting as though Hashem hates the Jewish people, Chas v'Shalom, and exchanged them for some other nation. So that's it. So you burn them. So Allah is time of a kama, you burn them. V'aleim Omar David. In fact, David HaMelech said about such people, Haloi Masanecha Hashem Esna V'Gomer. Don't I hate the ones who hate you, Hashem? And he continues, Tachli, which Barashah says, Masanecha means not only who hate you, but who cause hatred. Just like we had before, the Gemara said, I'll take the Masanei, Ela Masnei, those who cause people to hate Chachamim. The same way, Masanecha means people who cause people to hate Hashem, or vice versa. And he continues, Tachli Sina V'Gomer. I hate them with the utmost hatred. In fact, the Alter Rebbe brings this in Periklam and Beis of Tanya. You know, you have the Alter Rebbe is talking over there. You have to have Avos Yisrael for every single year, and even a Choyte. You have to have Rachmanos on him and so forth. And then, but then when we're talking about these minim and apikorsim, then that's a different category. And then tachlis sinas snesim, and there's no room for Avos Yisrael for them at all. And Rabbi Shmuel continues, Och shem she'en maksivon oisim at ne'ad leika, just as you wouldn't save these books from a fire, kachan maksivon oisim lomina makoilos, the same way if a building collapses on them, you don't save them either, v'lomina mayim, or if they fall into the water, v'lomina dover ha'abdon, or anything else that would destroy them, better they should be destroyed, and you don't do anything to save them. Continues the Gemara on this topic of Sifrei Minim. Bominer Yosef Barchanin Mirababohu. Yosef Barchanin asked Rababohu, Hani Sifrei Debei Avidon. These books of Bei Avidon. So Rashi explains that these are books that Zukim, or again, it's probably meant to be Minim, wrote books to use to argue with Jews. So you had in those times, and for a long time afterwards, it was a very common thing that the Goyim would force Jews to participate in debates with them. We know famously, for example, that Amban had to go through that. In a later generation, the Bala Ikrim, Rabbi Yosef Albo, and a number of Chacham of his times in the early 1400s had to go through that kind of thing. So they would write books where they'd have quotations from Tanakh and other Sifrei Kodesh in them that they were going to use to argue against Jews. So the question is, Matzilin Oisim, if not later, in Matzilin. So can you save them from fire on Shabbos or not? Again, the fact is they do have psukim and other details of Kedusha in them. On the other hand, they were written by these people to use to argue against Jews. Rashi points out, Bei Avidon is the actual name of the place, the type of place where they would have these debates was called Bei Avidon. So are you allowed to save them on Shabbos? So he says, ein v'la v'rafia v'yodei. So Rabbi Boho was, yeah, no, he wasn't really certain. Because again, on the one hand, they do have a certain kedusha to them, but on the other hand, maybe not because they were written by minim for their purposes. Continuing on this topic of Bei Avidan, the Gemara says, Rav loy ozer le Bei Avidan. Rav would never go to Bei Avidan to participate in these debates. V'chol shekin le Bei Nitzrafi. All the more so, Rav wouldn't go to a Bei Nitzrafi, which is a place, Rashi says, a place of actual Avodah Zarah. So certainly Rav would never go there. Shmuel, Bei Nitzrafi, loy ozer. On the other hand, Shmuel wouldn't go to a Bei Nitzrafi because there's actual Avodah Zarah done there. There's a different Gemara in Avodah Zarah, by the way, that mentions that they used to have, they would have a Sheira trees where they would reserve the fruit of it is going to be made into wine or beer or whatever that they would drink at the Bei Nitzrafi. So we see that Bei Nitzrafi was a place where they would do actual Avodah Zarah rituals. So therefore, Shmuel wouldn't go there, but Bei Avidan ozer, but he would go to the Bei Avidan to participate in these debates against the Goyim and the Minim and whatnot. So further on this topic, Omrulei LeRava, my time osis LeBei Avidan. They once asked Rava, why don't you go to the Bei Avidan? So really, he didn't want to. He wanted, like Rav, that he shouldn't go at all, but he couldn't tell them outright. So Amalahu, he gave him an excuse. Dikla planya ikabaurcha, there's a certain palm tree on the road, the koshi li, and it makes it difficult for me to go, because the roots are growing high up in the ground, and therefore it makes the ground bumpy, and I can't walk over there. So they tell him the nekre, okay, so fine, we'll uproot the tree. So he says, duchte koshi li, the place where it was is gonna be hard for me. Meaning, either he's saying there's going to be a hole left in the ground, so then it's still going to make it hard for me to walk, or Rashi says another possibility, he's saying the smell of that tree I find objectionable, and therefore even you take away the tree, the smell is still going to linger over there. The point is, Rashi says he was just trying to use that as an excuse. And Rashi explains, now what is it that Rav and Rava had against going to this Bei Avidan? The real thing is, as the Gemara is going to go on to indicate, is that they were concerned that what's going to happen, they're going to obviously best the Minim or whoever it is in the debate, and they might then get angry at them and kill them. So therefore, Rav and Rava, for their protection, decided it's too dangerous to go to this kind of thing. Whereas apparently Shmuel figured that maybe he has connections, who knows what, and therefore he figured he's less afraid of them harming. Marsha says, after all, I mean, you have to ask, okay, Rava wants to use an excuse to get out of going to the Bei Avidan. Why of all things is he choosing a tree, that there's a tree in the world? So he says he's using the tree as a moshel for the Torah. That the Torah is compared to a palm tree. He brings a Gemara in Bava Kama that makes that connection. So therefore, he's saying the Torah prevents me to go from going to Bei Avidan and debating over there about the truth of the Torah. So then they say Nechre. Okay, so they're saying Abraham. Our argument is that we should uproot the Torah. That the Torah has been replaced with a new religion, Rahman al-Islam. So he says, no, right? It's hard for me to accept. You're saying v'duchta, you're saying in its place, instead of the Torah has been replaced by something else. It's very hard for me to accept that, because the Torah that was given by the Eibishter is never going to change. So in other words, he is in effect telling them that I don't believe in you and all your nonsense, and I'm not going to have anything to do with it. So the Gemara continues, Mar Bar Yosef Amar Anomi Naiwana. So Mar Bar Yosef says, I am one of them, meaning, in other words, like I'm friendly with them. So therefore, I'm not afraid of them. I'll go to the Bei Avidan and I'll debate with them and I'll best them and then not have a problem. But one time when he went, they were going to put him in danger because, again, he was winning the argument and they tried to harm him. So then I guess that bore out that Rav and Rava had a point when they didn't want to go to such a place. Later on, towards the end of the Masechta, also it mentions about another one of the Chachamim, I think of Shimon ben Chalakta, who also the emperor, the no less than the Roman emperor, asks him, why don't you go to the Bei Avidan? And he also makes an excuse. He says, basically, I'm too old to go. So we see that most of the Chachamim would avoid going to this thing whenever possible. Closer to our times, back in the 1950s and 60s, when more people in America were still religious, most Goyim still considered themselves Christians, it was a very popular thing to have panel discussions. You have the joke, a priest, a minister, and a rabbi, but they used to have, you know, back 70, 80 years ago, it used to be an actual real live thing. They would have these panels that you'd have a priest and Lahavdil, a rabbi, usually a reform rabbi or whatever, and they'd be talking about the similarities and the differences between their respective religions. And the Rebbe was always very, very against any frum rabbonim participating in such things, because it gives a certain legitimacy to their religion. It's said, I've heard it said, the only one that the Rebbe ever gave permission to actually engage in such debates was Emmanuel Shachat, Olav HaShalom. So that's similar to our Gemara over here that was saying that most of the Chachamim tried to avoid this kind of thing in whatever way possible. Okay. So now the Gemara tells another story related to this. So actually, there is a piece of Gemara over here that's actually, you can find it in uncensored Gemaras, and maybe it was originally in the uncensored Ein Yaakov too, I don't know. But in any case, you don't find it in most common editions of the Gemara, that when the Gemara had, and it kind of ties in with the next piece of Gemara, is the Gemara goes on to mention, since we're talking about the Sifrei Minim, so again, among those Minim are the early Christians, and they have their scriptures, which, the New Testament, as they call it. And the Greek name for it is Evangelion, which means something like the good news. So there's a piece of Gemara that's censored in most editions of Gemara that says that Remeir and some of the other Chachamim, get Remeir and Rabbi Yochanan, I think it was, nickname, they said, the word is very appropriate. This name, Evangelion, it stands for either Ovengilion, which means the full sort of blank parchment. We just said before, Gilion means the blank parchment, so it's Ovengilion, the full sort of it, or Ovengilion, the sin, the Avera of the blank parchment. So then that brings in to the next piece of Gemara over here, where again, in the uncensored Gemaras, you have a mention of that, of those writings of theirs. So the Gemara tells, Ima Sholem Dvesu de Rabbi Lazar, or Eliezer really, Achose de Rabbi Gamliel Aboi. Ima Sholem, that was her name. She was the wife of Rabbi Eliezer and the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. This is Rabbi Gamliel the Yad. There was a certain philosopher. So Rashi says it means tzduki, and again, it's probably a census change for a min. Tosfos points out that in Greek, philosophos means a lover of wisdom, like what in English you have the word philosopher. Anyway, there was one in his neighborhood. He served as a judge, and he put out notice about himself that he's very honest, that he doesn't take bribes. So meanwhile, he would be taking bribes in secret, but he put it out there to pretend like he's very honest and incorruptible. And his sister, Ima Sholem, wanted to make fun of him and to show him up for what he really is. Why would they want to do that? So one reason the pastors might be that there were probably Jews who were thinking to go to him. Listen, if he's an honest judge, we might as well go to him, but you're not allowed to. You have to go to a Beis Din, not to a Goyish judge. So therefore, they had an interest in exposing him. But actually, there is a very interesting idea that Dertisert is showing him, a sefer on Jewish history. He says we look at it, Rav Gamliel and Ima Sholem, they lived through the Churban. Their father, Rav Shimon Gamliel, was killed sometime during the Churban. Either he was executed by the Romans, or he was killed by the Biryonim in Yerushalayim, or maybe he just died during the hunger and diseases and whatever that they were there. Anyway, after the Churban, the Romans passed laws that anybody who died during that war, their property belongs to the state, unless the Yerushim can bring proof that it belongs to them. So therefore, they have to go in front of a Goyish judge to prove to the government's satisfaction that they belong, that they should take over their father's estate, Rav Shimon Gamliel's estate. So therefore, they have no choice but to go to the judge, but they're going to do it in a way that's going to expose them as a corrupt liar. Anyway, so Ima Sholem started. She brought to him a golden lamp. Now, Marashot says she didn't necessarily give it to him. She may have just shown it to him as, I'll give this to you if you decide the case in my favor. But also, what came in, she went to him. Omrolei, so she says to this goyish judge, this philosopher, I want you to give me a portion of the estate from my father. Bein Nosha means the woman's birth family, from her father. So she's saying, I want an equal share with my brother. Omrolehu Pliny, So the judge says, yeah, it's true. She has a point. Go divide it. Omale, but Rav Gamliel says, what do you mean? Ksivlon, it says in our Torah, b'mkoyim b'ra b'rata l'teiris, where there's a son, then a daughter doesn't yaushin. So I have exclusive rights to the property. What's she arguing? Omale, so the judge says, ever since you went in Golus from your country, meaning ever since the Bis Mikdash was destroyed, it's Natilus Oraisa de Moshe. The Torah of Moshe has been taken away. The Isyehiva Sifra Achrit. And a different book, a different law has been given. And here's where you have uncensored Gemaras have the expression that he says, Isyehiv Sifra de Evangelion. That he's saying, these Christian scriptures have been given instead. Because apparently this guy was one of them. That's why Rashi said before that he was a Tzduki or a Min. Anyway, the Uksivbe, and it says in those books, Bro Brata Kachad Yerson, that a son and a daughter inherit equally. So that overrides your Torah. Really, of course, he was saying that because Ima Shalom had offered him the bribe of the golden lamb. The next day, Hodur Ayaleihu Chamra Luva. The next day, Rav Gamliel came to this judge and offered him a donkey from Luv. Luv is Libya, in North Africa. The donkeys from there we have earlier in the Masechta were very strong, tough animals. Ad Kedei Kach, that it says in the Mishnah that you need like special gear in order to, more than a usual donkey in order to control them, and therefore you're allowed to have it go out with such gear on Shabbos. So this is, it would be the equivalent nowadays, you know, of offering the guy Mercedes or something. Anyway. So now the judge is more biased to him, of course. Amalahu, so now when they come back, the judge says, Shpilas v'sefer de sifra. He says, actually, I looked towards the end of the book that I'm quoting before, Uchsidbe, and it says in it, Anola the meitak me'raisa de Moshe asisi. I have not come to remove anything of the Torah of Moshe. Ella or Veloy, different Gersois, either only to or, and not to, lo isufi ala raisa de Moshe, to add to Moshe's Torah. And it's true, in Moshe's Torah, it says that where there's a son, the daughter doesn't inherit. So therefore, I have to decide the case in favor of Rav Gamliel, after all. And now, what excuses did he use to say, what about the earlier part of the book? So a couple of Mephoshim talk about over here, about possibilities. Maybe he's saying that the later part overrides the earlier part. The Muslims, for example, have a similar thing with their scriptures, where they also claim that the later part, that whatever it says in the earlier parts, if you have something later that contradicts it, then you go according to the later one. Lahavdil, and Halacha, sometimes you have the concept, Tfois Loshen Achrin, that when you have an earlier Loshen and a later Loshen that contradict each other, sometimes we have in Halacha, you follow later one, whatever the excuse the guy was using. So Ima Shalom says, Nahur Nahur Kishraga, your light should shine like a lamp. So a very broad hint that she's giving him. I gave you that golden lamp. Why are you being unfavorable to me? But Rav Gamliel says, Asa Chamro Vatish Lashraga, the donkey came and kicked over the lamp. In other words, my donkey over my present of this donkey overrides your present of a lamb. So the point is, therefore, everybody got to see what this philosopher really is, that he's not so honest as he claims to be, and I guess they managed to get the estate as they wanted to, and be able to divide it up the halacha. Money talks, yeah. So that, again, the reason why the Gemara brought this in is because it has to do with this matter of Sifrei Minin, because the guy was using those to claim first one way and then the other.
So that's just a hint to people
should listen. Right. And there were other people there, right. So when she says, your lamp should shine, your light should shine like a lamp, she meant that not only to him, she meant everybody else who's there should realize the hint that I gave you this golden lamp, and therefore, yeah, and Rav Gamliel does the same thing in return, yeah. So obviously it was all a play act that Rav Gamliel, obviously Ima Shalom never had any intention of trying to take half the estate for herself. She knew the halacha, but it was all just in order to expose this guy as the liar that he was. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, day 7. How do we cancel out Golos? How do we mevatel the Golos? Is by being mevatel the original cause of Golos, which, how did the Golos the current Golos that we're in came out? Because of a lack of Avas Yisrael. So now, when we're finished already with Masenu Vavadisenu of the entire time of Golos, then surely that reason for the Golos has already been fixed up. Therefore, so now when we stress Avas Yisrael, it's not so much to fix up what we're lacking, but rather as a taste, as a foretaste of the beginning of the Geula Amitis Vashlema, which has to do with the Achdus, which is higher than any Schalkus, which is higher than any divisions between Jews. Halacha. We're beginning a new simon in Pitzah Shulchan Aruch. Having talked about various kinds of brachas, now we have more about Birkas HaGoymol and various other individual brachas that we haven't dealt with so far. So first of all, the din of Birkas HaGoymol, so you have four categories of people who have to bench Goymol. They're all in Kapitel Kuf Zayin, people who traveled in the sea when they get there safely. And you have, nowadays, it's also most poskim hold that also includes somebody who flies in a plane overseas, and that's our minhag. Also people who cross a desert or any other road where there's a chazaka of danger. For some reason, people don't make a brach. For some reason, people don't bench Goymol when they fly over a desert, only when they fly over water. Why that is, basically. So it also includes somebody who was in a different kind of danger. For example, let's say a wolf fell on him, or an ox gored him, or robbers attacked him, and he was saved from them. So that would include, for example, nowadays, let's say a person is in a car accident or whatever. And the third one is somebody who was sick, who was very sick, for example, with an internal injury, or he was in bed 3 days, and now he's healthy and walking around. And the fourth one is somebody who was in jail, even if it's only for monetary matters. The Alter Rebbe adds the point, if he was tied up in iron chains. So that particular part wouldn't necessarily apply to the jails nowadays, but I guess it depends on the circumstances. I don't know, for example, if Sholem Mordechai, did he bench Goyman when he got out of jail? I'm not sure. Anyway, so those are the four. The simon is v'chol ha'chayim yeducha sela, because chayim stands for cholah yisurim, which means the yisurim in jail, yam and midbar. The bracha is a goyim l'chayyav m'tev shemgolani kol, the nusach ashkenaz shemgolani kol toiv, the Alter Rebbe's nusach shemgolani toiv, and everybody says mishgmochol toiv v'yimochol kol tov sela. You make the bracha, you have to make it in front of 10 people. Now the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says there has to be 10 people besides yourself. The Alter Rebbe says no, the 10 can include yourself, so you only need 9 others. At least 2 of them should be Talmid Chachamim who learn halachas, because the pasuk says v'yimemu b'kalam, they should exalt Hashem in the congregation of the people, which is a minyan. Over Moshe zakenim yahaluhu, and where there are sitting zakenim, meaning elders who learn Torah, then they should praise him. If you don't have Talmid Chachamim, then it's not an act of any bench going on. You bench when you get an aliyah after the last bracha. L'chatchila, you shouldn't wait more than 3 days. So if, for example, the rescue happened on Monday after Kriyas HaTorah, then don't wait till Thursday. Rather, just make the bracha sometime during the week in the presence of 10 people. The same way, for example, let's say the person was an ovo and he can't get an aliyah, then again he should make the bracha right away, but it should be standing and in front of 10 people. B'di Yevet, if he waited more than 3 days, then he can make the bracha anytime he wants.